Welcome back to Coast AM. I am Lisa Garr, and I also broadcast The Aware Show the other 5 days during the week. If you check that out on my website, which is theawareshow.com, and that's A-W-A-R-E. And it's all about awareness. It's all about talking about mostly my favorite topic is brain sciences, but anything that has to do with improving or including your life in a way that you want to have it. So it's not just personal development, but it's all about expansion and awareness. So check that out, theawareshow.com. And I will continue here on Coast to Coast AM right after the break. Welcome back to Coast AM. My guest is Stephanie Waters, and we're talking about Colorado legends and lore. And we were talking a little bit before the break about Pike's Peak. Now, there's many places in the world that have lots of legends and lore, but this particular one, Pike's Peak, has a lot. It's considered one of the more spiritual places in the world, as well as because of its kind of rich waters and mineral-rich area in that particular region of the U.S. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience, Stephanie, and what you know about the region?
Well, Pike's Peak, I think it was called T-E-V-A, Teva or Teva. I think that's what the native youths used to call it. But they literally believe that the mountain was the belly button of the universe. I just love that. I love belly buttons anyway, but especially the belly button of the universe. That's pretty important.
Why? Why was it called that?
It's connected to the mother.
Okay.
Yeah, it's connected to the mother. And think about the natives, the way they must have looked at it, as being closest to heaven as they can get. Father Sky, Mother Earth. And so the significance, and even if you look at the mountain, it definitely stands out from the rest of the whole Front Range. It stands out like a sore thumb. And the natives knew that of the significance. And we also know that Cripple Creek is right there on the side of Pike's Peak. And Cripple Creek, as I understand it, during the Pike's Peak Gold Rush, produced more gold than any place in the whole world. I hope I have that right, but I'm pretty sure I do.
Well, it makes sense because there's a lot of other minerals there as well.
Yeah, and I love the show Ancient Aliens, and they talk about that we have a lot of UFO sightings over Pike's Peak and a lot of ghost stories, of course, in this region. But on Ancient Aliens, they talk about how perhaps the ancient aliens were attracted to this region because of the rich mineral deposits underneath the mountains here in the Rockies. And I find that is a very good explanation, because when I was doing my research, especially about UFOs, I found that most of the sightings happened over the old metal mining camps, especially Cripple Creek. You know, there's a story that happened, this would have been 20 years before the Wright brothers took flight over Kitty Hawk. Here in Cripple Creek, Colorado, there were over 500 people that saw a UFO when they were coming out of church on a Sunday about noon.
Ooh.
So it was clear daylight. And it was a flight of about 7 or 8 of them, of ships, and they were hovering just about, 100 yards above the town. It was so close that they could see the windows. I mean, that's amazing. And they were hovering. They weren't flying, so the explanation of weather balloons was totally...
Before there was flight.
Yeah, I find that fascinating, because today if somebody says, I saw a UFO, you can always brush it off as being an airplane. But this was before we had...
Or a government experiment gone wrong.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Or even weather balloons wouldn't have behaved the way that this did.
The erratic flight patterns.
Exactly. Yeah. Up and down, sideways, hovering, you know, like a helicopter. Fascinating. And they didn't know what to... There was no explanation. Now, so what I did was I followed it. I followed the sightings throughout the Rockies at the very same time. It was fascinating to me. This was like in 1859. There weren't a lot of people.
Wow.
But a lot of people saw this. I mean, just outrageously crazy.
And so you followed the story?
I came over in Kansas and then came over to Colorado. Yeah, it was amazing.
And the story was consistent?
Very much so. The way that's a very good question right there, because there was no way that the farmers in Kansas, you know, back then before we had the World Wide Web, could possibly know what the farmers in Colorado were seeing. That, I mean, this was amazing back then, you know. We had the telegraph, you know.
So you think Pikes Peak, because of its mineral-rich content and waters that are that contain a lot of minerals there, it's a conduit for a UFO or extraterrestrial activity?
Yeah, absolutely. I have had the great pleasure of meeting some wonderful people over the years as the director of this paranormal convention. And one of my friends is named Dan Macias, and he lives in Green Mountain Falls, Colorado, and which is right underneath Pikes Peak. And he saw Bigfoot come to his back door, opened his door. Actually, the Bigfoot actually rubbed its hiney on his screen door, and he actually has some Bigfoot hair.
Oh.
And Dan has really committed his entire life to the belief in Bigfoot, and he believes that his property is on part of a portal. And he does live above Green Mountain Falls, back in these rock formations, and there's petroglyphs in the rocks, and I've been back there with him and seen all of this myself, and I believe it's possible. You know, I mean, why not?
What have you seen in the writings?
He believes, my friend, he believes, they are, you know, it's like stick figures. I find this fascinating because they are elongated, just a straight line, a stick, you know, with two little, like a triangle at the bottom, and then a triangle on the top, and then these long arms with triangles on the bottom of it. It's very geometric looking.
Mm.
It's fascinating. And my friend actually believes that his property is a porthole where Bigfoot is traveling intergalactically. And I know that might sound outrageous, but why not consider the possibility that maybe Bigfoot is a missing link, maybe? And maybe he's coming in and out, or maybe we're seeing we're seeing something that happened at another time, a long time ago. I don't know.
Well, tell me, how do you feel that the Native Americans feel about this, these stories and ghosts and the legends and so forth that isn't being reported on by Native Americans?
Well, this is great that you brought up this question again, too. You think like a researcher, because that's what I asked. I'm like, well, why don't we have more stories? And that's because nobody was looking under the right name. Of course, a Native Americans wouldn't have called this creature Bigfoot. Now, would they?
They wouldn't have called him Tinyfoot.
No, there was 154 different names by the Native American Indians, depending on where they lived in the Rockies, where they were located. 154 different names. That's why we had a communication problem here. I mean, I can think of a few names right off the hand, but, I mean, that's why doing research on this was so fascinating. It opened so many doors for me. I went, oh, my gosh, now this story makes sense. Now this story makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all the same being. Once we decide on a name, you know, Sasquatch, I think most Bigfoot cryptologists like to call it, you know, that is just a name that has been come up with in the last few years. I mean, relatively speaking, maybe 50 years. I don't know.
My question was more about how do the Native Americans feel and the people feel about these places that are being built on the Manitou Springs area and Garden of the Gods and the areas near Pikes Peak?
Well, that is really very interesting. Another good question, because, see, the legend is that our town is constantly flooded, baptized by water every 7 years, and so it seems to be true. Now, I looked into this, and I'm like going, all right, well, when's the last time that we've actually had somebody try to remove the curse? And it was back in 2000. And what happened was in 1999, we had a huge flood again, and it wiped out our spa building, and it was almost going to be demolished. The Murphy Company came in, and they spent quite a lot of money to have this building completely re-gutted because it had to get rid of all this asbestos, and that was like $3 million right there. But anyway, just to make sure that their investment was not going to be flooded, they actually asked five members of the Native American Indian Council to come here and do a healing rite over the town and over the spa building. And I actually read the article in the Colorado Springs Gazette, and it said after they did the healing ritual in front of the spa building that 5 crows flew up into the air and, not even being able to find true north, flew into the building and crashed. I'm not kidding you. If you want to look it up, it's easy to do. Look it up.
Is that an omen?
I don't know, but you know what? In 2013, it flooded again. It didn't work.
No, right. Yeah. It feels like an omen to me. Maybe they shouldn't build there again.
Yeah, maybe not.
What a concept.
Yeah.
I mean, there are certain things to be said for these history tours and things that are being done in these sacred lands, mm-hmm. or hotels being built and so forth. Where's the fine line there to honor and respect the lore of that particular land?
Yeah, I say thanks every day, you know, to the good Lord, to the spirits that be, to the land that be. And there's a legend about Manitou Springs that you're not allowed to leave unless you ask for permission or unless you're ready to leave. You come here because you are supposed to learn a lesson. You don't come here because it's a choice. You are summoned to this town. And I know that sounds crazy, but I have talked to so many people over the years, and I always ask them, I say, so, what brought you to Manitou Springs?
And
always the same story. Well, it was the weirdest thing. You know, I never planned on moving here, and my car ran out of gas.
Uh-huh.
And here I am. Stories like that. And when you hear so many of them, you go, this isn't a coincidence.
Interesting. So let's go back to the idea of what to do if you are sensitive to this types of energy, or maybe you have a ghost in your house or something that might be visiting you. Mm-hmm. What do you suggest to people that maybe don't want, you know, or want this spirit to transition, want it to move on already?
Yeah. See, I think that when someone dies, now I want to caveat this with make sure that I don't offend anybody's religious or spiritual beliefs. These are just my feelings. I think when someone dies for the first 3 days or so, that maybe their spirit lingers, that they stay here. Some people mm-hmm. believe that, you know, maybe you just hang around to see your funeral and then you leave. If you're not a ghost.
Others stay.
Right. But if there is a lingering energy in your home, get rid of it or move.
Because it usually owns that particular place. So.
Earlier in the conversation, I did say that my house is haunted that I live in now.
Yes.
And that, I want to say with a caveat, that it used to be the Pikes Peak Bible College. It has a very interesting history. And anyhow, the other day, being that it is that the veil is so thin this time of year, I actually heard choir music in my house. I've lived here for 15 years. I've never heard that before. Ran into the dining room, and then it ceased. I know it was inside of my house. I heard it. My dogs heard it. They were howling like, what is going on? I think that's a residual. It's like a burp in time. You know, quantum physicists can explain it better than I can, but I just think of it as like burnt toast. You can still smell the burnt toast after long after it's gone. Yeah.
The blip in time makes more sense, where it could be coming back into this dimension temporarily in a split second.
Yes, and see, that doesn't have a consciousness. The choir music that I heard did not have a consciousness.
What do you mean by that?
It means it was just like I heard it in the room, like it was a burp in time. Does that make sense?
Didn't have a consciousness.
It's just music that I heard, like, that came through. Sometimes, believe it or not, I can hear the trains that used to run behind my house.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't ran in over 100 years.
Yeah.
So that's
yeah.
what I hear. So I don't know if other people hear it, but I do.
Do you have anybody around that you could ask?
People who are in tune with the higher laws of nature, as I say delicately, they can pick up on it too. Children especially. That's why I love it when little children come on my tours, because I tune it down a little bit so I don't scare them so much. But the kids have a great time because they haven't been taught not to see.
Right. So back to where people feel that they are afraid of ghosts. You're saying that they're not usually wanting to stay. They want to move on, or they should move on.
They should move on. I think it would be like, you know, when you're hungry, you just know to eat.
How do you help a being do that? How would you suggest, or how would you teach someone to assist this ghost to move on?
Well, you can always try talking to it. I swear it works.
What would you ask?
I tell it, you need to move on. You know, you're not supposed to be here anymore. And I know this is your house and you love it, but you're not supposed to be here anymore. Your loved ones are waiting for you on the other side. You need to go. And just talk to them like a kind person would talk to anyone who was scared and confused. These beings are just like they were on Earth, and some of them get caught here. It's really sad. If you think about these ghost hunters that go out and are teasing them like they're in the zoo or something, you know, it's not very nice.
Like in Ghostbusters where they could vacuum them up and put them in a tube. When you ask this, or you say to this entity that might be hanging around and causing mischief, move on, that why do people get scared?
I think that, you know what, ghost hunting is addicting. First of all, it is so fascinating. We've all been fascinating with what's on the other side. And then once you have validation, I tell you what, it does not stop at that. It's like gambling or something. It
opens up a whole new world of possibilities.
You're like, I can't believe this happened. And then you do feel special because so many people want a validation that there is life after death, let's be honest. And when you do have it happen, it blows your mind, and you will never forget it, and you will never let anyone talk you out of what you saw. See, that's what happened to me when I was a child. My parents told me that it was because they dropped me on the head when I was a baby. Can you imagine that? So, I mean, all my life I was told that I was crazy, and I'm not. Because other people have had it happen.
Just enthusiastic, I would say.
Exactly, yeah.
But now, tell me, what did you started this wonderful convention, this paranormal convention, travels to various areas. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, we call it a movable feast, like I said. And so when we go into different areas, the very, very, very first thing that we do is we contact the local historians and the local ghost hunting groups, and we say, we want to be your advocate. We are here to help you and your community. Do you need to get rid of any ghosts? We're here. We're not going to be like those Ghostbuster guys, though. We're really like, I would call us paranormal psychologists.
There is such a term.
Yes, and that's what we do, and we're very kind, and we try to talk them over or do whatever we can, write a book.
So when you do the tours, you have a group that comes with you, and it's more of an active type of tour, right?
My tours are, it's because the town itself is very active, and this is how I do my tours. If you look at my website, ManitouLegends.com, you will see that there is very little information on there. After 17 years, there's a reason for that. I don't have a meeting site because before my tours, I actually do a prayer and a meditation, and I ask for the spirits which one wants to come out and talk tonight. So the tours do change night by night, and you never know which spirit is going to come out and play. Quite interesting. Yeah.
So those that do say a specific date and time and all that, you think are not as validated?
Oh, no, I didn't say that at all. I'm just saying that's how I run my tours.
Okay.
They're always different. They always change because that's how the paranormal is. It's always changing. It's always different. There are some spirits that are pretty consistent. But I call ghost hunting as much like fishing. I mean, as much as I love to go fishing, sometimes I don't catch a darn thing. And that's how ghost hunting is. You just never know what's going to happen. And then sometimes it'll be hot and you'll catch a bunch of ghosts.
Oh, my goodness. All right. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with listener phone calls. Any ghost experiences or questions that you have for Stephanie Waters, give us a call. I'm Lisa Garr. You're listening to Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. My guest is Stephanie Waters, and we're talking about paranormal conventions and ghost tours, basically. You have questions coming in from callers. Stephanie, are you good with taking a few phone calls here?
Oh, sure. I love that. Thank you.
Great. Sally in Oregon called a little while ago. She wanted to share a ghost visitation she had. Sally?
Hey.
Hi.
Hi.
Tell us about your story.
How are you guys tonight?
What was that?
How are you guys tonight?
We're great. We're great. Tell us about your ghost visitation.
It was creepy. Can you hear me okay?
Uh-huh.
Cool. I'm in the middle of the forest, and so my reception is sketchy.
I can hear you crystal clear. Crystal clear.
Hanging out and working, and I work with a developmentally disabled young man, and we were just listening to the radio, and then all of a sudden I had this like weird presence feeling, and I was just quiet. I turned off the radio and I was like, yo, dude, let's just chill. And I felt this sort of like orangish, pinkish vibe feeling around us all. And I was like, what's going on? And because I live in Southern Oregon and we can do that. And it's cool. And then I had this feeling of warmth around me, like I was being hugged, embraced in a most loving manner. And then I was like, who are you? And the entity was like, I'm your unborn daughter. So I was like, what is going on?
Wow.
And just chilled. And I just breathed and counted, because that's what you do when weird shit happens.
Weird
and
stuff happens.
I settled
yes.
myself. I was like, what? And it's just been a weird kind of like couple years for me. And it was like this entity, this pink orangey like warmth came to me and hugged me. It was like, yo, I'm here for you.
Aww. That's all. It sounds like a wonderful experience, and maybe that little one wants to come through.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. What a great story. Stephanie, what do you think about that?
I think that you asked for this to happen. Because I closed my eyes, and I held my crystal, and I pulled a card, and I got the Queen of Hearts. I think that you have been asking for resolution and asking for some kind of a sign to come to you, and that is what happened, that you manifested your own acceptance and your own and love into your life. Does that make sense?
Fascinating, yeah. Wow.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like,
because you
I'm
needed
learning
to do this
to love myself.
This was really integral for your healing.
Yeah, sounds.
This is part of the process.
Beautiful. Well, we have to take a quick break again, and when we come back, we're going to take more of your phone calls. We'll be right back. I'm Lisa Garr. You're listening to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast AM. I'm here. I'm Lisa Garr, and my guest is Stephanie Waters. I was just listening to the music, waiting for the show to start. And I'm the host. So we have a lot of great callers calling in. Stephanie, do you have time for more phone calls here?
I love it. Thank
Great.
You.
All right. So let's go to Irvin in Maine. He's our first time caller. Hi, Irvin. How are you?
Hi.
Good. How about yourself?
Great. Great. You have a story for us?
Yes, I do. I live in a 205-year-old house, and I've been there probably about 10 years now. And when I first moved into the place, you could hear like the footsteps going upstairs when I was I'd be working at the house by myself, and there'd be nobody else there, and there'd be somebody walking around upstairs. You'd hear doors shut, that sort of thing. Whenever I do, construction work on the house is when I'd start, like, having some sort of poltergeist activity, I guess you'd call it. When stuff would move, lights would shut off, TVs would come on, go off. At one point, I made a major change and actually built a wall in the house. And we had left the house and come back. When we came home, there was a cupboard door about 3 feet away from my glass-top stove, and the door was driven straight down into the glass-top stove, and it was, like, sticking up out of there. And they had taken a TV stand and set it up on my bed. It was
wow.
all kinds of stuff like that.
Do you want these?
Seriously, no, you're giving me.
Well, you know,
do you want these beings to remain or no?
You know, the thing is they've really never, I mean, I've never had any issue with it, except when I've done, like, changes to the house. And I guess I can't really, you know, be upset about it because I'm changing what they thought was a perfect house, I guess.
Well, the house is going to need changes. It's 205 years old.
Yeah.
Right?
Have you talked to the spirits?
Oh, yeah. After that, I was really mad. So
oh.
I walked through every house, every room in the house, and it was like, telling them, you know, I'm trying to make the house better for my family, you know, I need to update it. And I'm, you know, kind of just talking to them, telling them what was going on. And I really haven't had as many issues since then, you know, no damaged property, that sort of thing.
What was left behind there? I got a message, something was left behind there? And you didn't know who it belonged to?
Well, you know, there was a kid that committed suicide in the house at one point. And his father told me that he left a special rock.
Oh, okay. That's what I saw, a special rock. And did you ever find it?
No, I haven't. I haven't found it.
I think that's what you need to do, my friend. That's the message I'm getting from Spirit. You need to find that rock. It's very important.
Look for it. Okay. I've looked for it everywhere I could think of in that. And he even had a rock.
Did you try in the attic?
Yeah. The only thing I had, you know what? There's one section in that house that I haven't looked at. It's like a false wall.
Okay, go back there. You already know where it is. You told me where it is right now. Your subconscious mind just told you where it is. I'll bet you anything that's where it is.
A false wall?
Yeah, the thing is, there's two rooms on either side of this section of the house, and you can tell by looking at that wall in the middle that it's out further than all the rest.
Oh, my gosh.
So there's something in there that I'd have to tear that section of the wall out and get in there. But
you haven't
planned on doing it anyway, so it's just a matter of me getting to it.
Ooh, you haven't done it for a reason, right?
Well, the thing is that's just one of them. You know, that's just one of the ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a section of the house that's built on top of three graves.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an old lady in the house who seems to protect my daughter.
Okay.
And like what I think maybe she may have been abused by a family member or something at some point in her life, because what happens is if I go, my daughter will be in her room, and if I go up and the door is open and I'll go to step in the room, the door will shut in my face.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually done that to my son, too. But it won't do it to my wife, and it won't do it to the youngest.
There's got to be a secondary gain that you would want to stay in this house. What is it?
I love the house.
Yeah.
Huh?
I really love the house. I love the location. I've got great neighbors. And like I said, there's never been any real physical danger. I've never felt like there's ever been any physical danger.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, I've never had a real issue with it.
Wow.
But I think you do have an issue. You have a ghost that's trying to get your attention for some reason. And I
wouldn't know what to do to get rid of it.
Well, I think you need, I think you do know. I think you just told me that you need to go to that wall and you need to knock it down and see what's in there. I promise you will find something. I promise you will find something. I'm not sure if it's the rock, but there is something there. You know there's something there. You just told me. Your subconscious mind just told you, and you just told me. It's there. I promise you there is something in there.
Check it out. Irvin, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it. All right. Let's go to east of the Rockies, Maryland, in Rocky Ford, Georgia.
Hi.
Hi, Marilyn. What is your story for us?
Okay, well, I was in Savannah on a ghost tour at near Halloween one year, and they take you on the little tour around and tell you there's several places that are haunted, but there's one house. Well, it used to be a house, and it was torn down, and now it's a warehouse. But they take you inside, and they give you these little things that are supposed to beep or light up if you get near some energies or something. And I was just walking around with one of those, but I was walking around with my camera, and I asked the ghost, actually, let me preface this by saying that there were some people murdered there, and I think it was like the women were murdered by a man. Maybe she was cheating on him or something. I can't remember the story exactly. But
was it a plantation?
Couple of people were murdered. Mm-hmm. There was never any resolution as to exactly who did the murdering, but they have just a little corner where they have pictures of the people that lived there and so forth. And so I was walking around, and I asked the spirit to just reveal themselves to me. And when I did that, a light appeared at the floor about 4 inches around, and it went straight up. I took a picture of it as it did this. I was taking like a video, and it just went straight up, and when it got about 5 or 6 feet high, it disappeared.
Oh, my God.
And you took a picture of it?
Yeah, I took a video of it. I don't know what I did with it.
Oh, bummer.
And I don't have that cell phone anymore.
Was that your first paranormal experience?
It was my first, but my ex-husband, when he was a child, had a ghost in his house, and he would often hear like somebody using his bathroom in his every morning he would hear somebody using his bathroom flushing the toilet, and he thought it was his brother who was on the other end of the house. So one morning he said, "Why are you using my bathroom every morning? You have your own bathroom." And he's like, "I don't know what you're talking about. Use your bathroom, dude."
Wow. Wow.
And so they often heard chains clinking and weird noises and so forth. And his dad eventually just went in where one night when they heard the chains clinking and just pretty much cussed the ghost out and said, "You have to get out of here. This is our house." And after that, they didn't hear him anymore.
Oh, that's interesting that that works. Well, thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate it. Thank you. Let's go to, did you want to say something, Stephanie?
Oh, no. I was just saying thank you. Yeah.
Sure. Let's go to Kurt in Pendleton, Oregon. Hi, Kurt. How are you?
Hi.
Hi. Do you have a story to share with us?
Well, I do, kind of. It's when I was listening to you guys earlier talk about, like, when you're sitting in the room and you're hearing music and you could hear people talking, but you didn't know where it was coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I also hear music and people talking, and it's... What it is I had installed Ring in my house. And if I don't shut it off, I hear all the outside signs, including my neighbors, if they're playing their music, if they're talking in their carport across the way.
That's funny.
And it comes off my phone.
Oh. So it's just picking up everything around you.
It picks everything up until you shut it off.
Did you, in the beginning, before you figured it out, did you think your house was really haunted?
Well, I knew it wasn't because I've lived here since I lived in a manufactured, so I knew that wasn't.
It was just after the Ring.
I think you started just a few months ago, and I forgot to shut it off before. And I do. I hear people on my porch and things, and that's what it is.
That's funny, though.
It's awesome. Thank you so much for letting us know that, Kurt.
Thanks.
Something to look for. Let's see. Let's go to Bradley, who lives in Utah now, who grew up in Colorado. Hi, Bradley.
Great.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi, caller. I started recently listening to one. Stephanie, I grew up in Denver.
Oh, hi.
And my family, I kind of have two stories. The first time, I know you're in tune with the spirits. I think I might be to a certain... I'm sorry, I might get emotional. When I was young, my grandmother passed away of cancer. And the night that she passed away in the hospital, we were actually in New Mexico down in Albuquerque. And I remember her coming to the foot of the bed and sitting down and saying, "You're going to do great things."
Mm-hmm.
And I've always felt her presence. Excuse me.
Yeah.
I loved her so much.
Later on, when I was a kid, we had a cabin up in Fair Place. I'm sure you're pretty familiar with that area.
Mm-hmm.
And there is this pass that I would go up called Breakneck Pass. And it would lead to an old mining area. Well,
Bradley, are you in wind right now?
Pardon me?
Oh, yeah, there you go.
I got out of the wind. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Yeah, hold your phone real still because I want to hear your story.
Okay, so I went up Breakneck Pass. We had a cabin in Warm Springs. So this pass was a pass that was used between Sheep Mountain and Fairplay to go up to the mining settlements. And when I got up there, I felt